Last Wednesday night, we were looking at the appearances that Jesus made after his resurrection. And we noted that during the 40 days of his life on earth in his resurrected form, that there are recorded at least 10 appearances that he made to different ones. And he made 5 on the first day. That was on Sunday, that when he arose. And so last Wednesday night, we were looking at his appearance to 2 men, 2 disciples. We think they were men. We only have the name of one. That were traveling from Jerusalem on Sunday, the day that Jesus rose. And they were going back home. Things didn't turn out like they thought they would. And they'd gotten reports that he had risen, but they hadn't seen him. And so they're on their way home to their village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Of course, people walked in and they were walking. And so they were going home. And we noted how that they were walking along there. And all of this had happened. All of what Jesus said would happen, happened. All that had happened. And they knew he was dead. And they had heard from the women that visited the tomb that morning. They had heard that the tomb was empty. But they hadn't seen Jesus. And so they don't know what to make of it. They don't know what to believe. And so they said, we're going home. And that's where they're going. And we noted that they were sad. That is, they had long faces. And then they were talking back and forth to each other, discussing it, maybe even arguing about it. We don't know. But they were talking to each other about the events that had gone on in Jerusalem in the last several days. And as they walked, going home, another person came up and started walking with them. And of course, we know from the story it was Jesus. But the scripture says that their eyes were held so that they could not recognize him. And Mark said that Jesus appeared to them in another form, thus making it impossible for them to recognize him. Either way, they didn't know who it was. As far as they were concerned, it was a stranger walking with them. But we know it was Jesus. And so he came up and started walking with them, which was a common thing to do in those days. You're walking, somebody else walking too. A lot of people walk. So it was nothing unusual for somebody to join you, and even though it's a stranger. And to them, this was a stranger. And so as they walked, Jesus asked them what they were talking about. What's going on? And they said, man, where you been, in essence? Where you been? Are you the only visitor here in Jerusalem? And all this has happened. The big thing, and no doubt they said something about the crucifixion and Jesus supposed to rise from the grave. And where have you been? You hadn't heard anything. And then he said, well, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, might in deed and word and before God and all the people. By the way, we are in Luke 24. I failed to announce that. That's in Luke 24. That's the appearance of Jesus to on the Emmaus road. And they said in verse 20, they said the chief priest and the rulers, our rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now, the religious leaders, they said, are responsible for the death of Jesus. Though the Romans put him to death, actually, because the Jews could not, they could not carry out the death penalty, but the Romans could, and the Jews saw to it that Jesus was placed in the hands of Pilate. Now, Pilate didn't want to, we know. Pilate tried his best to get out of it, but he could not because the people pressured him, the Jews, to sentence Jesus to die, and that he did, and tried to wash his hands of that, which we know from the story. Now, these two said in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So they say we're disappointed. We thought that he was going to redeem us. We thought he would be the one to redeem us from our sins. And of course, we know that the people were looking for redemption from the rulership of the Romans. And then they reported that certain women also of our company made us astonish, which were early at the sepulchre. So our hopes were revived when these women reported that he was alive, or that the tomb was empty. But notice what else he says. And when they found not his body, that is his women, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw not Jesus. They saw not him. So everything that they announced was great, but the hopes dwindled when they didn't see Jesus. You know, that's what they did. We looked at that Sunday morning. That's what the disciples said whenever these women came and reported that they'd been to the tomb and it was empty. They said, man, that's silly. That's idle tale. You're talking about angels, empty tomb, but no Jesus. So they couldn't believe until they saw Jesus. And so no Jesus, no belief. And then notice what Jesus said to them. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, they didn't see Jesus and they didn't believe. Now, you and I have not seen Jesus physically. We haven't seen him. We believe, however. Now, they had to see him before they would believe. But we haven't seen him. Now, that's a question, do we believe? A lot of people don't today. I was watching, just surfing the other day, and and came across this old war movie. And there were two soldiers sitting side by side. One of them had his head down, and the other one said, now it was old black and white. One said, what are you doing, praying? And he responded, no, I don't believe in praying something I can't see. And you know, that's the philosophy and the belief of the atheist today. They said, it's silly to pray, believe in something you can't see. You get seeing is believing. So these people, these disciples were having a difficult time, not only these two, but the others as well, of not seeing Jesus physically, but and not believing. So today, we haven't seen him, but we believe. You remember when Jesus, later on in this chapter, Jesus meets with his disciples. Sherry talked about that this morning in the children's sermon. He meets with his disciples, and Thomas is not there. John tells us about that. Thomas says, unless I see him and feel the scars, his wounds, I will not believe. He didn't believe. They had seen him, but Thomas hadn't. So he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. And so the next Sunday night, Jesus appeared with them, and Thomas was there. And Thomas saw and believed. But what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Well, Jesus knew that he wasn't going to stay on here in his resurrected form. He knew that he was going to be taken out of here. And then, everyone who believed then would have to believe without seeing him physically. And so, many have. And you and I have believed, even though we haven't seen him, we read the word. We believe he died. We believe he rose again. And as we noted this morning, we believe he's coming back. We believe that, though we haven't seen him. But we will. We will see him one day. Because he's coming back. Now Jesus said, oh, you fools, slow of heart. That is, you got dull hearts. The word slow means dull. Your hearts have been dulled. And he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then he began at Moses and all the prophets, and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now remember, they were walking about 7 miles. How long would it take them to walk 7 miles? Some of you walk, you know about how long it takes to walk a mile. Well, now they weren't walking the fast gait that you usually walk for exercise. While Jesus was talking, it's just standard reason that they would be just slowly moving. And so they had about 7 miles of time for Jesus. Where did he start? To tell all about him. He started with Moses. And you go all the way back to Genesis with Moses. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And you go back to Genesis chapter 3:15, and come on. You find out something about Jesus there. You go to the flood. You find the ark, which is a type of Jesus Christ. You go to Abraham, he and his son Isaac up on the mount. He offered up Isaac on the altar. And you go on to Exodus, the Passover there is a picture of Jesus, and then you just keep going. It's like taking the Bible, starting over there and reading it with that in mind. If you try that, take the Bible, start in Genesis, and read with everything, most everything pointing toward the coming of Jesus. And you it's just like you read this, like Genesis 3:15, and then there's an arrow said, go this way. You'll see, find out more. You get to the flood and the ark, and you say, well, go this way, you find out more. And then you get to Abraham, you go this way, you find out more. You just keep reading and walking and looking. And you get to Exodus, and you're getting a clearer picture then. And then you keep on, and then the Psalms, you find a lot about him in the Psalms. And then in the prophets, you find a lot about him. And just keep right on, and you're heading toward the cross. And you're heading toward the resurrection. Heading toward what Jesus did on the cross for us. So Jesus began with Moses and expounded unto them the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And so they kept going. Now notice what happens here. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And Jesus made as though he would have gone further. So they were walking. They stopped, turned into their driveway. And he pretended he was going further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Now, he was a stranger, but something he had said told them they wanted to know more. They had heard a lot of what he said in those, however how long it took him to walk 7 miles. They'd heard a lot, and they didn't want him to go on. And two, they wanted to be hospitable. The people in those days would take in strangers. He was still a stranger to them. And they would take him in. And they encouraged him. They insisted that he stay or tarry with them. Some years ago, we were up in the Amish country in Berlin, Ohio. Just a small place. And around that area, maybe you've been there, there's small villages. And one of those small villages, and they may still do it. And Memorial Day, maybe it's Labor Day. I think it's maybe Labor Day weekend. What are the holiday weekends? They had and may still have it a flea market, a auction. An auction was on Saturday night. And what they were doing was raising money for the poor country of Haiti. So the Amish people, as you know anything about them, they were great at making wood, doing woodwork, making furniture, the most beautiful furniture you want to see. And they would make it and donate it. And they'd have a big auction to raise money. And it'd have gospel singing. Groups coming in, no music, just a cappella. And it was a has a great and wonderful experience. But throughout the program time, the MC would say this: anybody here need lodging, we will provide for you lodging. And they meant that they would open up their homes to anybody that needed a place to stay. And so they were very hospitable. And I thought about that when I was reading this, that these two disciples were inviting Jesus into their place to lodge for the night. Now, we said at the outset that they were two men. It could have been. And it could possibly be a man and his wife. Could be Cleopas and his wife. We don't know. But anyway, they invited Jesus in. So he went in with them. And it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now what happened there that enabled them to know him? At that moment when Jesus took bread and broke it, or he gave thanks and broke it, and handed it to him. Well, there are two possibilities here. Back in Matthew chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus fed 5,000 people. Now remember, these two people were not one of the 12. Well, they were not two of the 12. They were just disciples. So they were not in the upper room with Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper. So they hadn't seen him there. But it's a good possibility that they saw him break those loaves of bread when he fed 5,000 people, when he broke it, gave thanks, and handed it out to his disciples. Maybe that's when they recognized him. They recognized he gave thanks and breaking the bread. Or it could have been that when Jesus broke the bread and handed it to them, they saw the scars of the nails in his hands. The nail-scarred hands could have been that which opened their eyes. And now they believed. They had seen him. They had seen, no doubt, the nail-scarred hands. And now they were believers. And it is said that Jesus, when they recognized who he was, vanished. That's the kind of body he had that could appear anywhere, is a resurrected body. And so as he appeared unto them as they walked, he was able to leave them just like that. Just go. Boom. No. How many remember the old show on TV, I Dream of Jeannie? I'm sure most of you remember that show. Still on, I think, some reruns on some of the channels. You know, she could do that thing and people leave, things would appear, and you know. Well, Jesus was able to do that himself. He was able to just be at some place. And you'll find out later in this chapter, he just appeared with those disciples. They were all hid and closed in a room somewhere. And nothing is said about he went crashing through the door or crashing through the roof. He just appeared, and the doors were not open. The windows were not open. He just was there. And if we understanding it that way, then the tomb door did not have to be open to let him out. He was gone before that door was open. He just went through the rock and arose. But they knew him. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, we think of their heart burning. It's not acid reflux, not that kind of burn. It's not the physical heart. It's their conscience, their soul. There's something going on. Whenever they heard the scriptures, they heard what he said from Moses on up through the prophets and the psalm. They heard that. And the more they heard the scriptures, the word here is that their hearts were warmed. They were warmed over hearing the scriptures. And if we take this book today and get the reading in it, the more we read and the more we learn about how wonderful and great God is, the more we read and the more we learn what he has done for us, the warmer our hearts become. It is a heart-warming experience. And that's what was happening to these two disciples. Their hearts were warm because they were hearing the scriptures. And we have today in this nothing that does the heart better than to read this book and to read about the greatness of God, the love of God, and his interest in us and what he has done and what he's going to do for us. So they had a wonderful day. These disciples did. It started off on Sunday morning. It started off with long faces, sad hearts. And it closes with a warm heart because they had heard the scriptures and they had seen Jesus and knew now that it was true. He had risen from the grave. Let's stand for our closing prayer.